You are listening to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Run! Run!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 250. Yes, 250 episodes of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is one of my stalwart co-hosts, my editor-in-chief, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, Ben, it's good to be back, and No, you know what? I'm still fucking pissed from last week. That was bullshit!
Yes!
No!
Ring the
no!
Rays.
Okay? If an isolationist royal family released toxic death clouds on a populace, and someone removed one of those clouds, they should not be the villain. And if they're murdered without a trial, they should still not be the villain. That's bullshit!
And joining us from Stillwater, Oklahoma, Jonathan Cartwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi, I'm in the midst of my own Terrigen Mist. But it's my own self-generated. But yeah, I'm kind of pissed off at that, and pissed off at the fact that I'm reading the book. I had to read the book of the week.
More on that later. Yes. And of course, the blackest of skies. Taser. Welcome back to the show.
You know, I have my heater on, but I receive more pure rage heat from that little burst of flamboyantness. All I need to do is leave this line open and let him talk, and I think I'll be good for the night.
I'm
really
so
do.
Angry.
All right, but we're not here to we're here to move on past the death of Cyclops. Or
never forget, never forgive.
We're gonna forget. He'll be back in 5 years. There's a Cyclops. He's running around. He's in chains. There you go. There's your Cyclops.
Oh, we'll get to that. Don't you worry about that.
All right. Anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel. And when you think of comic books, you think of fighting. Fighting has been in comic books since the dawn of comic books, since 1939. Superman fought some random mobsters. Fighting.
Duke and Lefty.
Superheroes have been fighting each other. I mean, hell, the big summer movie of the year was Captain America, Civil War, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, fighting each other. Last week, we talked about the speculation that Marvel vs. Capcom 4 was going to be announced at PlayStation Experience was this past weekend. Brian, deliver the news to the masses. I love how he's supposed to deliver news to the masses, but he's not delivering news to the masses.
What? Sorry.
Go ahead.
He was simmering down from his rage.
Nah. So it's not a rumor anymore. It's confirmed. Marvel v. Capcom 4 is legit happening.
Well, it's not 4.
And they released videos about it. It's not... Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Excuse me. I misspoke. So... They released a couple of videos over the last week or so, which we get a view of characters like Iron Man and Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, squaring off against Ryu, and Mega Man, among others. But
I'm going to be the nerd again right here. Mega Man X, not Mega Man. Mega Man is in the classic series. This is the X Mega Man. Thank you very much.
Oh, God. But yes, so Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is a thing that is happening, and it's gonna be, from the looks of it, pretty fucking tight for a Marvel vs. Capcom game, you know. I mean, it's a classic fighting game. We don't have that many deals at this point, but we do know that it's happening, which is awesome, and we know that, again, it's gonna be focused more on the MCU side of Marvel characters, so, as pertaining to us, that's what we're gonna be looking out for. And that seems to be holding true. Captain Marvel's gonna be getting her moment in the sun, as will Iron Man, but it's coming out next year, 2017, unspecified release date as of now, but yeah, we also got a gameplay trailer, and you know, I keep waiting for Iggy to bust in and start talking over me about how excited he is for this shit. So, I mean, Iggy, I guess what do you think about it? As if I have to
I'm looking at the trailer. It's very, you can tell very much it's in an early build of the game. I like the stages they showed off, which is clearly using the Bifrost bridge from the movie. I think it looks really cool. I geeked out. Look, I love Marvel, right? But I love Capcom a lot too, and Mega Man X has been one of my favorite games of all time. It's one of my favorite series in terms of just playing games. I can pick up that game, play it, beat it in an hour, and then get my full satisfaction out of it, no matter what I'm doing. And X has never been in any of these games. You've had Classic Mega Man and Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2. Zero was in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and there was no talk of X. Like, X was a skin for Zero. That was the closest you ever got. X has never been in any sort of guest game. And so that freaked me out more than anything else that they showed him. Also, which I don't think you mentioned, but on ESPN2, because Capcom Cup was this past weekend as well, that took place on Saturday, but ESPN2 re-aired it on Sunday, and they showed off two new characters. So not only do we have Iron Man and Captain Marvel and Ryu and Mega Man X, but also we have Morrigan from Darkstalkers and Captain America joining the fight as well. So two more confirmed characters, which, to be fair, those characters have been in there since Marvel 1, so it's kind of hard for me, like, yeah, they're going to be in there.
Yeah,
although,
you at least saw Captain America coming in, Morrigan as well. She's a mainstay. So.
Yeah, she's not a mainstay in her own, well, like, nobody cares about Darkstalkers. They only care about Morrigan in Marvel vs. Capcom. So I'm excited about that. It is regressing from the, at least since Marvel 2, which set up the, what people think of Marvel vs. Capcom, which is that 3v3 insane shit happening, to the classic Marvel vs. Capcom 1, which is 2v2 with more than likely an assist. I would not be surprised if they're not going to do assist. One thing that is going to be emphasis is that they're going to bring in Infinity Stones, which is not surprising, but I want to remind people, this is not the first time the Infinity Stones were a mechanic in a Marvel fighting game. If you remember...
Oh, shit. What?
Well, Marvel Super Heroes, which featured Iron Man, Psylocke, Captain America, Spider-Man, the Hulk. It was a Marvel fighting class made by Capcom in the 90s before they made Marvel's Capcom 1. The whole mechanic of that game was using Infinity Gems. Like in some instances, if you get the power one, you increase your power. One would make multiple copies of yourself, therefore increasing the amount of stuff you can do to your opponent on screen. So this isn't new. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's from the movie. So there is precedent to the stones or gems, whatever you want to call them, to be in this game. I'm excited about what they're going to do and what they've only shown off, really, the power gem and the time gem. And they're clearly the MCU versions because the time gem is green, similar to the Doctor Strange movie. I'm glad Captain Marvel is in it. I think I freaked out a lot when I saw her scarf. I'm like, you know, she deserves to be in it. I know she's been run through the through the mud recently, but I'm very excited she's in it. I can't wait for it. Oh, and one more thing, because this is just a tidbit. But if you want a PS4, you can get Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for $25 right now. Like, right now, if you own a PS4, if you want to play Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, it's on PS4, I'm assuming digitally only, but for $24. And then in March, Xbox One users and Steam users will be able to download it, which, if it's a low enough price, I'm going to probably jump in on Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on the PC version. But rest assured, I will be buying Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite day one to see how this goes, because I want to play it. I want to get good. It's going to be fun. Marvel's always great. It's Marvel, baby. Old man Grumpy Taser, thoughts on any of these?
Nah.
All right, John, thoughts on any of these?
It sounds interesting, and thanks for the flashback to the Marvel Superheroes game. That was one of my favorite games to play back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's going to be the wait and see how it goes, see how many more characters come in. Otherwise, it's kind of blah. And just see how they release it and present it.
Yes. Later at the end of the show, we're going to talk about the characters we would like to see in Marvel vs. Capcom. It's not going to be a different list. But we're going to talk about some of the characters who we'd like to see in there. So stay tuned to the end for that. One thing I hope this leads to is that because Capcom lost the license to Marvel, I really hope they get the license back, because Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is on digital stores. So I'm hoping that, because if you wanted to buy a copy, digitally download Marvel vs. Capcom Origins with Marvel Super Heroes, you can't do it anymore. I did it on the last day, and I did it because I knew you wouldn't be able to purchase it anymore. You cannot. Same with Marvel vs. Capcom 2. You could purchase it digitally, then they removed it from the store. So hopefully, whatever deal they struck, that they'll put them up back on the store. Because I would love to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, either on PC, or PS3, PS4, anywhere. I want to play that game again. Because if you look at the prices for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, whether it's PlayStation 2 or Dreamcast or Xbox, holy shit, that thing's expensive. That game is expensive as hell to find. So hopefully that leads to the case. Brian, your thoughts on any of this shenanigans?
I love the look of it. I love the style of it. I'm intrigued by the promise of some of the characters we may be getting, because, you know, the ones we've gotten so far are pretty basic in terms of who you expected to see. I mean, Mega Man X, Ryu, Cap, Iron Man, even Captain Marvel to an extent. You know, you could foresee all of them showing up. So, I think, though, I mean, it's not an immediate buy for me like it is for you, Iggy. I'll wait it out just to see how it goes and what I hear based on reviews, and probably a drop in price, because you know it's going to happen. And if there's a day one patch, I won't mind waiting that out, too. But suffice to say, I love it whenever I get to see Marvel characters cross properties, be it with DC, the distinguished competition, or any other real property. So I'm excited to see how this game turns out when it's final. I'm really eager to see who they include for the rest of the cast, because the MCU statement opens the possibilities for other characters who haven't been in previously to come in, and unfortunately, by that same token, it also helps push some characters out. But I think they can make it work. I think Marvel has a deep enough well to draw upon that it's not going to be a major issue. But yeah, all around, I'm excited for it. Not a day one buy for me, but I will definitely be checking it out at some point when it comes out. So.
All right, but if you own a PS4, get on that Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It includes all the DLC, so it includes all that. So it's a great deal. Versus if I were to buy, it's $30 for me to buy a used copy of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the PS3. But I'll wait it out till it comes out on PC. But let's move on to our only other bit of news this week, which was the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer. So that happened.
Yes! Sorry.
Baby Groot is a thing.
Oh, he's such a cute little thing, and it's amazing, and he's a destroyer of worlds, but he's also just so fucking adorable. He's like a Dragonite in that way from OG Pokemon. He can fuck you up, but he's gonna look adorable while he's doing it. So fucking awesome.
That
I can't wait.
That sounds wrong.
You sound wrong.
Yes, I do.
Sir.
It sounds wrong.
One thing that had me freaking out was at the end of the trailer, they show Mantis, in a very comedic way, showing that, that Star-Lord was sexually attracted to Gamora, and maybe it's just me, but I feel like they're turning up Drax's comedy up a little too high for my liking. Like, what made, like, obviously, you know, if you didn't see the first movie, which you probably did, you know, Drax is like, he doesn't understand sarcasm. It just goes right over his head. He doesn't understand metaphors, stuff like that. But I feel like with this one, like when he's like laughing at Star-Lord about it, I just feel like they're like James Gunn or the writers are just like, let's take that and let's crank it up to 11. And I don't know how to feel about that. I laugh, but I like that that Drax was the somewhat serious one next to Gamora, you know? That's the only thing.
In the first one, his humor was more subtle and it came from misunderstanding as opposed to more like outrageousness, which is what it seems like that was going on.
Like, he's like, do me! Like, he's excited. Like, I like seeing Batista excited. Like, seeing Batista happy is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I love it, but at the same time, it's like they're trading off from what it was in the first movie as to something new in the second movie. And, you know, that's fine, I guess. I enjoyed the look at Mantis. You know, she looks very Mantis-like, I guess. I mean,
she doesn't have the green skirt. She doesn't have
a
green skirt.
I mean, there is that. No green miniskirt, unfortunately. But we get the antenna, which I expected probably less of them than I should have, because I'm like, they're not going to do the antenna. Lo and behold, they did the antenna. But come on, who stole this besides Rocket Raccoon and Baby Groot? I mean, honestly, who can sit there and tell me that?
Hold on. I know. What the fuck were they fighting? Has there been any speculation as to what they were fighting?
I don't know. I mean, Taser! Where's Taser? He usually knows about this shit.
Yo!
What? Right here. You saw the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, yeah?
Actually, I'm watching it right now. I'm just finishing it.
Oh, okay. Then you go ahead and you finish the thing.
No. Turn down the volume, because I can hear it through my headphones.
Okay, it stopped. Please finish.
What are you asking? The giant squid monster-looking thing. Any idea what that might be? Oh, Master of Marvel Cosmic.
Honestly, not a freaking clue. I honestly thought it was, you know, random tentacle beast pulled from, you know, some anime, you know, that they, you know, they threw, I didn't recognize anything. You know, I'm too busy tripping over freaking Mantis. They're going to make Mantis an alien in this. You can just see it.
Is she not an alien?
No, she's from Earth.
I thought she was an alien. She looks like an alien when you look at her.
And this, yes, she looks like an alien, but she's not an alien in the comics.
Even with, like when I looked at her in the comics, she had green skin and alien and antenna. I thought she was an alien.
That's after she became the Celestial Madonna.
Exactly. She had a cosmic.
Wait, hold on. What the fuck is the Celestial Madonna?
Lady Gaga, no fur. I don't know.
But it's actually a long and interesting story, but suffice to say, they're not going to bother with that here. They're just, you know, she's an alien, and she's a pleasant-looking alien. The only thing I expect from her is they'll probably get some Asian chick to play her or something. I don't know. But,
no complaints there.
I don't know. I'm going to see the movie because, you know, we're going to have to do it for the show, but I'll be perfectly honest. Yeah, Baby Groot and Rocket were funny. And this, the space battle stuff, that shit looked fun because I love space battles. Give me ships, give me things flying all over the place, dogfighting, corkscrewing, spinning explosions. It's an easy sell for me, but these guys, see, John understands where I'm coming from because he knows which version of the team I like. These guys, Drax is smiling here. Oh my God. God damn it. Damn it. So yeah, I'm not impressed. I'm not. I can't even say I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not. I'm going to see the movie. It doesn't look like utter shit, but I'm not going to be touting its flag or anything.
God, who hurt you as a child, man?
I explain why the first movie sucked.
He didn't like it. Remember, there was that whole build up to that shit.
That was the first fucking scene. This is the scene.
Honestly, I kind of blacked out when he started ranting about it, but
first fucking scene. You can, more power to you if you don't remember.
All I know is that, like, I started sweating and I felt like the heat of the sun was bearing down on me. I'm like, what the fuck is that? White, hot, just fucking oppressive heat. And then Taser was ranting, I guess. So I guess I kind of.
All I can say is this: the first movie didn't really give me what I wanted, you know. The personal stuff aside, it didn't really give me what I wanted. It actually went the opposite direction. This movie, it doesn't look awful. I'll say that it doesn't look awful, but I'm not cheering for it. I'm not.
All right, John.
I actually personally have not seen the trailer just yet, but that's okay. From what I've heard, it sounds like it's going to be an entertaining movie. And let's not forget that Kurt Russell. will be Ego.
What if they're fighting inside Ego in the trailer? That's what I kept thinking.
That's probably
dirty,
what it is.
Dirty, man.
Because otherwise, when you're saying tentacles or octopus type stuff, the only thing I can think of is Starro from DC, and I know that's not it. Or I'm like Taser's, like, what kind of hentai did they pull it out of and put it in there? Mantis, and I'm like, okay, it's cool they're going to bring her in, but obviously it's not going to be a character that I'm familiar with, but, you know, that's okay. My team of Guardians is not the same as what everybody likes in this movie. I enjoyed the movie, don't get me wrong, and I thought it's still one of my top five favorite MCU films. That's a whole other topic of discussion later, and I know Taser would strongly disagree with me, but more is more. I know my kids will like it because my daughter really loves Baby Groot, and so
every woman loves Baby Groot. Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend posted on my wall like screaming heart emojis, like Baby Groot, Baby Groot. And to be fair, yep. I concede he's pretty fucking adorable.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun watch. That's all I'm gonna say. It's just gonna be, you know, another Marvel cinematic film. Hopefully, I'll be able to watch it since I've yet to watch Doctor Strange. You know, I'm still clomping at the bit on that. But, we'll just wait and see. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, now if they can just do Nova right, not going to happen, but, you know. Sorry, don't mean to make you drop a bomb of rage over there. But that's what
Taser just does that involuntarily anyways.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sunlight.
And look, all I can say is this. People with long memories should not be reading the Marvel Universe now, nor watching the movie.
Wait, you have a long memory?
Not the only thing that's long.
Hey!
His ego.
Put it this way. I look at the stuff that they're doing now. I look at the stuff that came before. There's no fucking comparison. That's why I'm forcing myself to read stuff just to come on the show. I'm forcing myself to read stuff to come on the show. And I've made that public quite a few times. I'm not really impressed, in love with, I don't like the current Marvel Universe. I don't like it.
Yeah, well, I'm not too far from it, buddy, so I understand.
You old men and just your...
Oh, please, you... Your little rant last week kind of sums up my whole feelings about Marvel Universe as a whole in terms of the comics right now.
That was different. So, just because I don't like how to speak one character doesn't mean I lose faith in the entire premise.
That's what they're doing to the entire premise, though.
All right. This is getting off track from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm
going to put a siphon on this.
Let Taser speak.
Bri had just recently, like a day or two ago, had posted... the cover for the Korvac saga, you know, and Jonathan and I both commented on it. And Barbara, you saw what I wrote. You know, the Korvac saga is. Have you touched it?
Not yet. I picked up a couple other things, but it's on my list.
I ask is, when you finish it, don't let us know on Facebook. Let us know here what you thought. You know,
all right,
ask me where you would place it in general Avengers stories that you've read, you know, and whether other
ask
things...
Ask you where you would place it?
No, where you would place it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can do that.
You know, and let us know here, because the Korvac saga, that is just a stellar piece of writing. It really is. You know, the stuff that they do nowadays is so fucking character-oriented, it's disgusting, but I just do the review here, that's all I ask. All
right, I will follow through on that. You can look forward to Bradby's retro review of Avengers: The Korvac Saga in September.
Never, because the Korvac Saga is banned.
What?
Oh shit! We'll take over the show then.
You're just like that school board that banned To Kill a Mockingbird in Virginia, you fascist.
Yeah, that's evil. Oh my god! How the fuck did you ban a book that's been in their library for what, decades? Because one or two people had a problem with the racist language, so now the book has to go. That's fucking insane. You know, whoever signed on for that decision.
Okay. But let's move on. They're dumb. Let's all agree they're dumb. They're idiots, and let's move on. Let's move on to our book of the week, which is Inhumans versus X-Men number 0 because I wanted to continue that rage and I want my $4.99 back.
Okay. At least you had the right reaction to it.
Like I read it, and I want to validate this. The only reason I picked it is because it was the end of November. I had, like, two comics this week. So it's like, fuck it, let's make it Book of the Week. I'm not reading anything else. If it was a big week, I probably would have passed on it. This is a zero issue, and I should have expected this going to... This is boring as fuck. This basically sets up... Beast going from optimistic to wanting to slice his own throat at the end of it all, and basically sort of quote-unquote sets the battle lines for the Inhumans and the X-Men, with Emma Frost gathering mutants to her side and the Inhumans preparing for war. And it was boring. It didn't have any heart. It didn't have any soul. It didn't have anything interest me. It made me, like, a zero issue should make me care about what's going to happen in the following issues. This made me do anything. Like, I don't give two shits about these two groups of people fighting, considering they already fought. Like, why should I care about the rematch when the first time they fought wasn't even interesting enough for me to read? The only thing I liked about this issue was... the only reason I bought this issue really was the art. Was Kenneth Rocafort, because I like his art. And I'm like, okay, like, maybe the story will be okay and the art will be amazing. But the art was amazing, the story was bad. It was boring. It was so technical. It was so, we need to get this beat across. I understand that you need to establish that, you know, for people who didn't read Death of X, and good on you that you didn't read Death of X like me, because I didn't either. But it tells you what happened before, tells you what's going on. Yeah, you did. We all know.
Fucking assholes at Marvel. Can't even let the man go on his own fucking note. You did Cyclops dirty, you bitches. I'm sorry, go on.
Yes, basically, they gassed him and then took him from behind. That's really what happened.
But I didn't like this. I give this book a 1 out of 5. It was that mediocre. It was that bad.
That generous?
I'm that generous. Yeah, because I like the art. That's the only reason. Because I like Kenneth Rocafort, and I think his art is good. And it sucked that he was taken off of Ultimates to do this. You know, it was just like, why, like. I understand with the zero issue, you got to get points across, but god damn it, do it in an entertaining way. This is boring. I can at least laugh at a bad comic. This is just boring. It was boring. And that's the worst thing a comic book can be to me, is boring and uninteresting. I want my $4.99 back, Marvel. You fucking hear me? T-Man.
You know, okay, aside from the fact that, yes, this book was dull, you know what stood out for me in this? All right, the new Inhumans, to go along with Marvel's television shit, the new Inhumans, for the most part, seem to be able to hold on to their humanity, at least their outward appearance, going by, you know, the characters that we see here.
Like the Doctor Who is working with Beast?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Eso and Flint and whatever the fuck. The new ones.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was just referring to her because she was an Inhuman. She's an Inhuman.
All right. Okay, so I
they're not deformed. They're not. They don't like Inhumans used to have, like,
classic. You know, yeah. They don't actually change. They just get powers.
Yeah.
There's no downside to it, which I got to admit, I'm not happy with. I thought that was an interesting dynamic that, you know, they would go through a change. It changed them physically, but you know what? Within the context of that society, they had no problem by and large. But either way, so you have, was it Flint, Eso, and Grid, okay? And it's, what was it, like page 6 or 7? And Flint says this: I believe that. They did it once, and we lost half the Terrigen in the world. They'll do it again, and they'll kill anyone who gets in their way. How the fuck would he know? His entire position is that the X-Men are deadly and dangerous, and we have to be ready to kill them because we have to defend the Terrigen Mist. Now, as far as I know, Death of X was his first interaction with the X-Men at all. And I don't remember any X-Men actually killing anybody in this. Correct me if I'm wrong.
X-Men killed nobody. The Inhumans did all the killing.
Right. So, you know, his position, and Grid is not really no better. They come off like, you know, it's almost racist, you know, and it kind of sickens my stomach that, you know, these two dipshits have this, you know, preconceived notion in their head as if, you know, they're on the side of right. And the fact that they're writing it this way, okay, you know, that's the way Marvel wants to play it, fine. You know, I can let it go. But just the idea that somebody would take a skirmish over a big issue and then assign such a heavy negative to people who haven't actually done it, you know? I'm mystified. And then this book gives us shiny, happy, smiley Beast. Almost every panel that Beast is in, I think at least maybe 60%, Beast is smiling like a fucking moron because, hey, today's a good day for science.
You know what? Can I say, I'm going to say something real quick. This did not sound like Beast at all.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, like,
I can see him saying it once, but his attitude, you know, like, oh, this is science. This is clearly something that I can do. I know I can do this because it's science. Everything was because science. Science, 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 science. He was so fucking optimistic. I was waiting for him to solve MPAX and the fucking legacy virus and fucking cancer and gout, you know? Everything could be fixed through science, and it was moron. He was a moron in this, just a big dumb blue furry moron. Just kind of a waste. Everything else, Emma, you know, diving off head first so she could quicken her transformations into diamond form, and Magneto chilling out on the head of a giant pin. that did make me smile. I'll admit that. This book does not. I mean, it's all attempt at setup, but the setup is boring. You know, I didn't feel any real urgency. I didn't feel any real need to pick up, you know, that first issue. It does nothing. It did absolutely nothing for me. I'm gonna give this a zero. Zero warriors out of five. This book sucked. Sucked ass. Correction. Let me rectify it. I did like the art. I thought the layouts were pretty interesting in some of the panels and some of the way. Who was the artist again? You said it, Iggy?
Kenneth Rocafort.
Okay. Kenneth Rockman. The way he had stuff on the outer borders of the panels. You know, I don't know, for whatever reason, that just made me smile. It was an interesting design.
He does unique, interesting layouts. That's one of his signature
looks. I'm gonna give this a one for the art. But, you know, beyond that, I can't recommend this book. As a matter of fact, considering what's coming, I'd say pass on Inhumans versus X-Men unless you absolutely really have to watch that fight.
All right, John Boy.
Why did I have to pay $5 fucking dollars for something that should have been on Free Comic Book Day? Soufflé and Rocca have done better. Soufflé did nothing to engage my interest in this. Rocafort had great art. I'll admit that. Art was good. The writing was shit. Characterizations were shit. I was hearing REM's shiny, happy people in the background every time I saw Beast come up. Emma Frost can go jump off a cliff, and I hope she gets a tumor in the brain to prevent her from going diamond so she ends her existence. Everybody was almost a friggin' parody of themselves on the X-Men. Inhumans, I could really give a rat's ass about because they aren't inhuman to me. They're just mutants under a different name. I'm not talking old classic Inhumans. I'm talking the new ones. I give zero fucks given for any of this that's coming up, building up to it, or giving me the history of. Marvel needs to do better. Marvel needs to pull its head out of its ass and reassign what they're doing. Soufflé has done better, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to call him Soufflé because it was a crock of crap that I was reading. The art was about the only good thing that I won't even – I'm sorry. Even though the art was good, I can't give it even a 1 out of 5. It's 0 fucks given. Shame on you, Marvel. Shame on you for doing the shit that you did to Cyclops. Shame on raping all the characterizations of the characters that I've watched and known for the last 20-some-odd years. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, they can have the Avengers come in and cluster bomb the entire group and get it over with, because it was crap. Pure, unadulterated crap. This made me wish I was reading something out of Civil War II. And you know how that I'm not even touching that with a 10-foot pole. This seriously made me question whether I should give my good money to Marvel ever again. I may have to go the route that Taser does in terms of alternative publication, so to speak. I'm sorry. Everyone that has read it is poorer by it. May God have mercy on our souls. I give it 0 shits out of 5 shits. I want my $4.99 back, you fuckers, for what was a glorified free comic book day issue. Thank you, assholes.
Brian, the rage still sees, but what did you think of Inhumans vs. X-Men number 0?
I'll start with the good stuff, because it's a hell of a lot shorter than the list of bad things.
I was going to say 5 seconds.
Look, I love Kenneth Rockford, okay? He was one of the reasons I was reading the shit that was the Teen Titans book back over at DC back when that was still a thing that was terrible. He draws a pretty Emma Frost, I will give him that, and I could honestly see him drawing any number of books that I would enjoy, and it would just, I would read it almost no matter the story material. That being said, so, as you pointed out, Beast is a happy-go-lucky idiot in this one, just for, like, you know, our species on the brink of genocide, but I'm gonna solve it through science, like he's fucking Bill Nye the Science
Guy. She blinded me! With science!
Bitches.
Part of me doesn't wonder if Dr. Hank McCoy is in such a deep state of denial about his fucking up of everything that he just doesn't came all the way back around again and was just completely ignorant of it. Honestly, I mean, this guy is like, I'm gonna solve this problem. Bitch, you brought the 05 X-Men to fucking Marvel proper and can't fix it, doesn't know how to fix it, and he's done nothing to have repaired the rift between the X-Men that occurred years ago. You know, he was happy to just sort of stand by and give Scott an endless amount of shit for it. And then he has the nerve to later on in the story kind of stand up and go, well, now my people are in serious danger because the Terrigen is in this place. Ooh, I better not tell them. Like, get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck are you? Like, what have you been doing? Honestly. Okay. At least Emma is doing something proactive. Granted, she is manipulating the X-Men into getting together to drive out the Inhumans, but they're both being such shitty races at this point, I honestly just don't know who I fucking hate more, okay? Emma is rallying these various factions of X-Men together, you know, Magneto and his uncanny lot, you have the 05 X-Men over in fucking whatever the fuck all-new X-Men that is, and you got her appealing to the Extraordinary X-Men too. And this is all in light of Hank realizing, like, oh shit, the Inhumans, they're gonna hate us and they're gonna fight us if we try and battle back against. Well, yeah, no fucking shit. Did you see what he did to Cyclops? Did you see what just happened in the last fucking issue? Honestly, this is like, I will reiterate, if an isolationist royal family obsessed with genetics released clouds of unknown chemical agents into the atmosphere on the Earth, and they swept around the world, and somehow this cloud killed an entire species of beings on this planet, and then one of those beings managed to remove one of those toxic death clouds, and then someone from that royal family killed that person without a fair trial or without so much as saying so, except for, you know, saying so actually killed them. Who would be the bad guy if I told you that story? I mean, honestly, the Inhumans are not doing anything to help. When that little exchange between, like, ISO and Flint and Grid and all that, I wanted to fucking tear my hair out because what the fuck are they talking about? Who the fuck are they to judge anybody? All right? They have been all too happy to reap the benefits of Terrigen, while meanwhile this thing is killing mutants, and they're like, yeah, well, that one ice guy was pretty shitty to me, so, you know, I guess I better condemn them to extinction. Like, get the fuck out of here. This is bullshit. This whole story is bullshit, okay? It's the continuation of bullshit, alright? This whole book is a testament to exactly how fucked up everything is over in the Inhumans and the X-Men worlds, because neither one of these people have their heads on straight in terms of priorities, alright? The Inhumans don't care about the mutants. The mutants know the Inhumans don't care about them and are planning to fuck them over, but the Inhumans know that's coming, so they're gonna fuck them over first. Meanwhile, Dr. Hank McCoy is playing both sides, trying to be some advocate when he's really just an asshole who stands aside and does nothing. Emma Frost is honoring Scott's memory by manipulating all the X-Men and has the nerve to get teary-eyed when she sees the original five X-Men Scott in the fucking VW van and fucking ISO just stands by and says nothing, and these fucking Inhumans do nothing. Nobody does anything in this book. And we're charged $4.99 for it. Fuck this shit. I'm out.
I don't think... Yeah, don't expect any Inhumans vs. X-Men updates. This is the last time we're going to talk about it. That's even coming from me. I was like, well, maybe I'll read this series. Like, no.
Kenneth Rockford, no. Find a better book, man. You're better than this shit. You are so much better than this, man. You can draw Emma Frost for me all day. Just don't make it this book.
Maybe he's just drawn the Zero issue. Hopefully.
God, I hope so. And he deserves better.
I will admit he does a really good Emma.
His Emma's lovely.
That's not even the saving grace for this issue.
No.
That's how bad it is. When the good girl art can't save it, it should give you a clue. It sucks ass.
And you know what? Sorry for cutting you off, John. But
oh, you're fine. I'm.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You just had to say it, didn't you? Yeah, okay.
what really grinds my gears, and it's something that I said last week, there is no repercussion to Black Bolt or the Inhuman Royal Party, family, whatever.
Exactly.
No repercussions for them killing an American on foreign soil who simply sought to save other mutants from a deadly biological threat. No repercussions whatsoever. And to top that shit off, where's the rest of the superhero community?
They don't care.
They're all just kind of like, look, we tried to
that and bad writing
once. We tried to get involved with them once. Writing. It didn't turn out any good for anybody, so let's just kind of let them sort this out. Like, I bet they're sitting there like, I bet there's two sides of this story. Just standing by, just listening to it happen. You know?
And like I said last week, one side saw it, wait a minute. He went up against Black Bolt? Oh, fuck that. I don't want none of that shit. No. And that's the end-all, be-all of it. You know, there's no negative repercussions. And Marvel has always been bad with that. Look at what happened after Avengers versus X-Men, you know? Cyclops and what's the name were on the run. They chased them. They started chasing Magneto for whatever the fuck reason. But there were other people that were involved that didn't even bother. They didn't even bother looking at
Colossus. Colossus was the big one.
You know?
God.
I mean, he was part of that X-Force run that... He was part of that extra son that we liked, but at the same time, like, why are they going after Scott Nemo? But Colossus was part of the Phoenix Force 5. God, I haven't said that in so long.
Phoenix Force 5! Phoenix Force 5!
All right, let's I'm going to call it right there. Let's move on from Inhumans vs. X-Men. It's terrible.
We can pick apart this book all day, but it's not going to change anything.
Exactly.
It's barely useful to line a bird's cage. Barely useful to line a bird's cage.
It should have been a free comic book day issue. That's it.
I agree. This read like one of those.
But
let's move on.
Cut out all the pictures of Emma and like burn all the dialogue. That'd be cool.
Pretty much.
You can just go to his DeviantArt. I'm pretty sure there's like a sketch there. All right. If he has a DeviantArt. Either way, let's move on to individual reviews. I'm going up first with Ms. Marvel number 13, a.k.a. Get Out the Vote. So I like Ms. Marvel, right? You guys know that. Everybody who listens to this or knows I love Ms. Marvel. And I'm not against social issues being in comic books. The first arc of Ms. Marvel, of this current volume of Ms. Marvel, dealt with gentrification, which is like, okay, let's do this. And Hydra trying to gentrify her neighborhood. So I thought that was interesting. So come this issue, it's a cover of Ms. Marvel holding an American flag. I'm like, okay, that's a cool cover, whatever. So basically, this issue was about gerrymandering. And I'm like, okay, I'm with you. Where do you go with this? So they bring back the villain from the first arc, the hipster Hydra kid, which I'm not a big fan of, but whatever. It's the Hydra for New Age. Whatever. But the big...
I think they're calling them alt-right now, Iggy. I don't think you can call them...
No, fuck that. Fuck you. Fuck you if you call any of these fucking racist assholes alt-right. They're not alt-right. They're racist human beings. They're horrible. Go fuck yourself. Anyways, so the Hydra is basically trying to make a bid for the mayor. Ms. Marvel, she learns that her relative through marriage basically had to move schools because of their gerrymandering the districts, if you know what that is. You learned that in elementary school. You should have learned it in elementary school, not middle school. She tries to go to the bottom of this. She tries to go to the mayor. It's like, well, what the fuck's up with the gerrymandering? What's going on with this? And he writes a letter that they're listening, Hydra's listening, while trying to tell her, like, the typical political, like, we've told, like, trying to keep a face like a typical spy movie. Like, okay, where are you going with this? So then, this is where the comic loses me. So, they talk about voting, and they present basically do a Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton commentary, in which you have one candidate, the incumbent, who is nobody likes, is unlikable. Then you have the hipster team, the hipster Hydra agent who's running for mayor. Nobody likes him either, but it's the lesser of two evils according to some people. But then you have the Bernie Sanders of the group, as I like to call them, which is the librarian who was on city council and now she wants to run for mayor. And she has no chance of winning. She doesn't have a snowball chance of winning. So basically Hydra holds a rally for their presidential candidate. Again, they're not called Hydra, they're just, like, it's just this organization they work for. And Ms. Marvel basically gets out the vote, she brings all the people, and for 2 to 3 pages, this book stops being a comic book and turns into a here's how to vote pamphlet, including how to tell if you're registered to vote, where to register to vote, and how, like, what importance of voting. I'm like, And again, it's not abnormal for Ms. Marvel to do something like this, but when I read it, I'm like, this feels hollow, this doesn't feel organic to the story, and it feels like, why did I go from reading a superhero comic to an infomercial on how to vote?
No, you like, read a PSA.
Yeah, pretty much, I read a PSA. I read a PSA about how to vote, and then, yeah, it was just like, this is just bad. And I like Ms. Marvel, I like the art. The art was fine. And you know, in an ideal world, the writer plays with the fantasy that the candidate who has least likely to win wins because of voter turnout, and they like her the most. Whoop de doo! If only that happened in real life. And that was the case. Bernie Sanders would be the president right now, or president-elect.
Woo!
But the fact is, this is just a fucking PSA to remember to vote. If this came out before, I might have been more lenient, but even then, I'm like, what the, like, there are ways to do politics and like, social stories in comic books. I'm not against them, but holy fuck, this is a PSA. This is a fucking PSA. I give it a 1 out of 5. I'm not against telling people how to vote, but if you need to learn how to vote through a goddamn comic book, you need help, son. You need help. Like, that's just embarrassing. You should know how to vote. You should know where to go. Just Google. You have Google. How to register to vote. Where do I vote? What are my, you know, all these things. I don't need it. Like, I love the book, but thank goodness this is a one-and-done issue. Because, god damn, that was bad. I really wish we were in the time we were gone. We had I had done a review for Ms. Marvel 12, which I thought was going to be the start of an arc of her globetrotting around the world. Nope, she was done in one in that issue. I really wish that would have been continued instead of this fucking PSA I got for issue 13. Again, not against voting. You should know how to vote. You shouldn't. It shouldn't be in a fucking PSA in a comic book after the election has come out. That's what makes it worse. It's like, the election happened. Trump won. The bad guy won. Fuck you. Fuck Trump. Fuck everything. John, take it fucking away. I'm fucking mad right now.
Okay, Infamous Iron Man number 2, which is Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Maleev, and some guy named Hollingsworth doing the inking.
Matt Hollingsworth. He's a really good inker. He's solid.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain on him. Two things I will say about this. What you see on the cover, you don't even see until the last fucking page, and it's off fucking panel.
Ew.
Fucking assholes. Wait, say that again? Fucking assholes.
No, before that.
What you see on the cover, which is Ben Grimm grabbing a hold of Dr. Doom or Infamous Iron Man, doesn't happen until the last frickin' page, and it's off frickin' panel. Outside where you see sound effects and windows crashing. Fuck you, Bendis. Fuck you with a big chair. Fuck you with somebody with green hair. Art was good.
Easy.
It was a good art, and I liked seeing Doom take out the Mad Thinker. But when your promise, and the scene with Ben going into the Latverian embassy was kind of funny, too. It was classic, Ben Grimm. And, it was entertaining. But, Bendis, somebody boot him off Marvel, please. Please. Just do me a favor. Just boot him. This is the last issue of anything of his I'm going to even try to purchase with my own money. I might have to rob somebody next time if I want to get number 3. Not that I'm advocating crime of any sort. I'll be getting a hold of Taser for this one, for next issue, if I want to read it. This is just problematic of what Marvel's been doing. Nothing's been coming out right. I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of titles that are really good, but I haven't found them yet, and probably won't until I see them in trade. Again, same rating that I gave the Free Comic Book Day issue that I wasted $5 on. 0 out of 5 fucks given. Wasted read. Next person, please.
But Brian, bring us home with what are you reviewing again? I forgot.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. For lack of a better book, I picked up Old Man Logan, and I'll review that this week, even though I wasn't that crazy about it. To begin with, Sorrentino's not on art duties in this book. It's a fill-in arc done by Felipe Andrade, who you may better know as the guy who's doing Power Man and Iron Fist. But I will say his artwork is marginally better in this than it is in Power Man and Iron Fist. So I will give him credit there. That being said, this book is a team-up book between Old Man Logan and the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's not like the classic Nick Fury guys. It's the monsters of S.H.I.E.L.D. that he's teaming up with in this one.
Oh, that short-lived book that got canceled very quickly.
Yeah. The premise of this story arc is that Dracula is back, and Jubilee, being a vampire, has gone missing, and so Logan, still feeling secondhand guilt from having murdered Jubilee back on his Earth, takes it upon himself to track down Jubilee, and he runs into the Howling Commandos because their teammate, Vampire by Night, was also recalled by Dracula back to, where the fuck are they? I'm assuming Transylvania, but I'm assuming that's also, Romania, excuse me. They didn't go with the fictional location. So, yeah, Logan runs into the Howling Commandos, and he ends up taking on Man-Thing and Hit-Monkey and Werewolf by Night and all that stuff, So what ends up happening is Wolverine devises a plan where the Howling Commandos will, they'll storm Dracula's castle and distract the vampires, because whatever Dracula's planning, it's like recalled all the vampires to his castle or whatever. And So they're going to attack and distract the crowd while Logan sneaks in and does what needs to be done, where he finds Jubilee. But, of course, as with all vampires, I don't know why old man Logan thought she'd be any different, but she's under Dracula's sway. And next thing you know, Logan's getting bit in the neck by Dracula and allegedly seemingly turned into a vampire. So that happened. I will say that I enjoyed the sort of breath of fresh air that the Howling Commandos bring to him, because for as good, or maybe not good, as much as I've been enjoying Old Man Logan, it is a very serious book. You cannot be serious when fucking Hit Monkey shows up and starts fighting Logan, and Logan's like literally pawing at a monkey on his back. You just can't do it. If you look at the cover for this issue, which Sorrentino did the cover, I don't know why he... But Hit Monkey's pistols have Shock the Monkey written on them, which I thought was fucking brilliant.
Oh, jeez.
So I love that. But, as much as I miss kind of the tonal... Because this is a major tonal shift from what we were just doing. The last arc brought Old Man Logan back to Japan, where he then, you know, fought this kid who he knew in his world as this sort of, you know, leader of this clan of, like, ninjas or what the fuck ever, some rogue faction or whatever, while also compounding that with finding out that Maureen, his wife from that world, is pregnant. So it was a very emotionally heavy story, and this one is Logan teaming up with fucking Man-Thing and a werewolf and a monkey to storm Dracula's castle. So it's a bit of a sharp left turn in terms of tone. That being said, though, I did enjoy, because it is still Lemire you're writing, and for whatever you will say about Lemire, he does write good weird shit, and he has a lot to work with here that's familiar to him, I think, you know, with the, there's werewolves and man thing, and Kid Abomination is here too, from the short-lived Superior Iron Man series. It's a decent lineup, and I like, for as much as I knew it wasn't going to last, I mean, I didn't pick up the series, but the team, the Howling Commandos, is interesting to watch because it's so different from every other team. And of course, you also have the Logan Jubilee relationship, which is going to be played out a little bit more, so that's interesting to see. I mean, it wasn't unbearable, but if you're looking for the sort of, you know, the Logan redemption arc of him coming to Marvel and stuff, which has been the tone of the series for the last 13 issues, is issue number 14, you're going to be disappointed. That being said, if you want to go in and see Old Man Logan and a team of S.H.I.E.L.D.-sponsored monsters fighting Dracula and other vampires, this is probably the book for you, so I'd give it a read. But again, fairly middle of the road, I'll cap it at 3 out of 5 and just kind of leave it at that, saying that I did enjoy this book. So.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to round out this show with, as we mentioned earlier, with some of the characters we would like to see in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Obviously, some of the characters have been revealed, and a full roster will come later this year, obviously. But we wanted to give our thoughts on who we would want to see from the Marvel side, because Capcom I could go on for days. But for Marvel, I have two picks and two characters that I would really, really, really want to see. Number one, the first one, he is a character who was in the first Marvel vs. Capcom game and hasn't appeared. John, correct me if I'm wrong. Actually, no, because it's saying... Okay, I don't think he was in the second one. I'm pretty sure he was only in the first one. But he definitely wasn't in the third one. I want Venom to make a comeback in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. If you go look at his sprite work for Marvel vs. Capcom 1, it's really, really cool looking. And I think you could do a lot of cool things. Even if you didn't want to do classic Venom, you could do Agent Venom. You know, because that was a thing for several years. I think you could do that. I want Venom. So there you go. That's my obvious pick. My other one, who I think will be in it because he's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he's a personal favorite of mine, but the Astonishing Ant-Man. I think you could do some crazy combos with him, shrinking down, growing tall, using stingers, and maybe tag team with Wasp in some fashion. But yeah, those are my two picks, Ant-Man and Venom.
John next?
Yeah, John, because he's a veteran of the arcade scene.
I would, you know, it's going to sound funny, but I want to see the Punisher in there. And when I say Punisher, I want, and Taser's going to remember this one from the late 90s when he was the hitman for the Angels. Pulled the weapons out of his coat. You remember that, Taser?
I think Taser might be napping.
Okay. Well, it was a very bad iteration of the Punisher. But I think it would fit really well for the video game, you know, fighting game and this kind of thing. It would just be cool. I would like to see War Machine again. Maybe a little different than what he had when he was in there.
Versus just like a carbon, like a palette swap.
Copy of Iron Man. Yeah, give him some new moves and stuff, but I would love, because I'm always a sucker for War Machine. He's my all-time favorite armor of either Tony or Rhodey. So those are my two.
All right. Brian, who would you like to see in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
Well, I mean, taking into account the fact that they want to keep it to the Marvel Cinematic and whatnot, I mean, a really solid pick would be Drax the Destroyer to throw in there and just fuck shit up. So there is that to be said. Honestly, though, in terms of, like, variety, I mean, I don't think, I mean, Winter Soldier would be cool. You know, you could do some crazy shit with his bionic arm. I'd like to see that. So Drax, I mean, Winter Soldier would be awesome. Who else? I'm assuming they've done Black Panther at some point.
Black Panther has never been in a Marvel vs. Capcom game.
It would be cool if he was, though.
What?
I think he will be. Yeah, no, he's never been in it. No, in the three games they've done, he's never been in it.
Well, shit. I mean, hell. Black Panther deserves a spot, I think. But, Jesus Christ, he's never been in one, really?
He wasn't that popular until recently, so...
Yeah, fair, I guess, but that's still surprising. I mean, he managed to show up in fucking Ultimate Alliance and shit, you know, and that's... Whatever. So, yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that. Black Panther, Drax the Destroyer, as well as Winter Soldier.
Okay. So, I'm going to turn this upside. We've mentioned heroes. We haven't mentioned any villains. So I'm going to turn this on to you guys real quick. Are there any villains of the Marvel Universe you would like to see in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
I would love to see Thanos again, if they did him right.
That's a solid pick. Solid pick.
I think the speculation is that Ultron's going to be the villain for the game.
Really? I mean...
Based on the trailer, a lot of people are speculating it's Ultron with Sigma from Mega Man X. That's what people are speculating right now.
Really? That's, Oh my god, wow, that really is loud in the headphones, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But,
Yes. As far as villains go, What about Sabretooth? Has Sabretooth ever been in one of the Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah, he used to be one of the mainstays, yep.
Oh, really? Alright, yeah. What a villain would I like to see? I'm going to try to stick to Marvel Cinematic as close as I can. Let's see.
Is nobody going to say Loki?
Well, Loki's not really a fighter. I mean, he's a magician.
Doctor Strange is a magician. He was in the last game.
Ronan the Accuser.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I want to see Ronan bring his hammer down and fuck shit up. Yeah, Ronan the Accuser.
John, do you have any teaser, any villains?
Well, you could also try to do Carnage, you know, Counterpoint Venom. If you do it, I mean, again, if he's done right.
Yeah.
They have Spidey and his whole catalog back, don't they?
So I said, Celso said Sandman. Would love to see him.
Fucking... Kraven the Hunter. Bring him on board.
Dr. Octopus.
Uh-huh.
Because you could
just
do some cool...
Do the fucking Sinister Six lineup. That was a sick lineup.
Except Shocker, because nobody likes Shocker.
Everybody loves Shocker, because the
Shocker
house...
Would actually benefit from being in a fighting game, because he would actually have it where he could do the projectiles and stuff like that.
Yeah, he could be halfway decent, given a chance.
Yep.
Yeah, throw in some of that. I'd love to play Alexei Sitsievich, the Rhino, and just stomp motherfuckers, and that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That.
I would love to see Red Hulk.
Just a palette. That'd just be a palette swap. Red Hulk was in Ultimate. What would be the difference? They wouldn't play any differently.
He had, like, fire-based powers, though, didn't he?
You know, I'm gonna throw in one more, and it won't happen, but I would love to see it. Captain Britain.
Oh,
I would love
yes.
to see Captain Britain in there.
That would be fucking great to see Captain Britain on that lineup, man.
How about Hydra Man?
Hydra Man would be pretty cool. Visually, Hydra Man would be cool.
I would watch that. Hell yeah. I would watch Captain Britain fuck shit up, and I'd watch Hydra Man fuck him up. That'd be cool, man.
Yep. Or even better, like Super Adaptoid.
Oh, Super Adaptoid would be nice. He should be a boss.
Yeah, because he would have all the different abilities of.
That a Capcom character?
No, that's a Marvel character.
Super Adaptoid. You don't know what the fuck the Super Adaptoid is?
No, I don't.
You're fired. He's fired. Brian's fired.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Okay, are you familiar with the Justice League villain Amazu?
Wait. Hold on. Amazu?
Amazu, Amazu, whatever.
It's Amazo. It's Amazo.
Okay. Whatever, dude.
It's Amazo.
Point being, Super Adaptoid is very similar to him, whereas he can absorb and duplicate any superhuman powers that he comes in contact with, if he doesn't already have it in his arsenal to begin with. Kind of similar to Super Skrull, but not Skrull.
That's not bad. Yeah, I could hang with that.
I'd
love to see Super Skrull if it weren't for the license thing.
Yeah, Super Skrull was in the last game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Skrull was in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Trying to think of any other characters. Why not? You know, it'd be interesting. He'd probably be a boss character, but fucking let's go with Kang. Kang the Conqueror as a boss character.
Yeah, he'd be all.
I mean, shit. Doctor Doom is not going to be in this, right? So let's fucking put Kang the Conqueror and let's put him in that role. Foot dives for days. Foot dives.
Foot dives for days.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of any other Marvel villains. Lord. What about Red Skull with Xavier's powers?
OP is hacks, motherfucker.
Yeah. How about the Magus?
I think that'd be cool.
Magus would be cool. Yeah. I'd love to see, Groot would be cool to see, too, just based on his true.
I think all the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to make it. Maybe I think they're all going to make it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, man. They got enough juice now where they could be like, hell yeah, throw them in, man. Let's cook them up, see what happens. You think we'll see MODOK as a villain character?
I hope not. I don't want to see MODOK again. I don't want to see MODOK again.
You don't like MODOK?
No. You know what? Who should? Let's go with Green Goblin.
Oh, God, no.
You don't want Green Goblin in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
I mean, there's so many other cooler Spider-Man characters to pick from. Why do you guys stick with
Green Goblin? I'd rather see the Hobgoblin myself. You know, the better design.
Costume changes, buddies. They both ride on gliders and they throw pumpkins. There you go. Costume changes.
You know who I'd like to see? I want to see the Wasp. I'd like to see the Wasp show up and kick ass.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. You can, like, have this. You can, like, shrink down and blast people and then just reverb back up to your regular size and roundhouse kick a motherfucker, and that would be
so. I would love to see some of the alternate timeline versions, you know, the future versions, or
that's what we call DLC, John. That is what we call DLC.
Fuck DLC, I hate that shit.
That's why you wait for the definitive edition a year from now, so you get everything for a low price. Let me see. Well, I'm trying to think of any other Marvel characters, villains, who we haven't talked about. I still think Loki's going to be in it.
Oh, you know who Marvel owns again? Doesn't Marvel own Namor again?
Namor could be fun.
Oh, yeah. You could get like a trident thrown in there and have him just stab people.
You want to basically just be like Aquaman from Injustice, don't you?
He's basically just Aquaman from Injustice, isn't he?
Only cooler.
Cooler's a...
Okay,
They actually have shown Namor stand toe-to-toe with the Hulk and Thor by himself.
And Aquaman has stand toe-to-toe with Superman.
He has. It was more recent comics. Oh, okay. He's not going to make it because he's an X-Men, but I would love to see it because he was a very cool sprite in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But let's fucking get Cable back in this shit. I want Cable back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love Cable, man. That'd be sweet.
Okay. I'm going to drop one, and I want you guys yay or nay on this one.
Okay.
Hear me out. Silver Surfer.
Yay.
I know he's Fox, but fuck it. Let's just dream.
He would be cool.
Yeah, he'd be pretty fucking boss. I would pay to see him blast you with the fucking power cosmic, just bowl people over. That would be pretty cool.
I would love to see Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock would be cool. I think we're getting into fringe Marvel territory. I think they want to keep it somewhat familiar.
Mainstream. you know who would be kind of... Well, no, that's actually kind of fringe territory. I don't know why they would do that.
About Dormammu.
You know what? They could do Crossbones. Crossbones had a fairly decent presence in MCU. They could put him in as a brawler. He'd be pretty decent.
Eh.
What about
the Accursed from Thor?
Malekith
the Accursed would be a sweet fucking head. Oh my god, I would love
himself,
but not like the, not necessarily the movie version, the comic version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that shit was fucking dope. Like,
what about Ironmonger or the Mandarin? Proper Mandarin, not
like
fucking...
the actual Mandarin?
The
not
actual
like
Mandarin.
Trevor Slattery or whatever the hell?
Exactly. Yeah, although there would be a Trevor Slattery costume just because. Like, come on, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Yes.
Only if he blows his brains out.
Yeah. I'd rather see Ironmonger than,
All right, well, I think that's it, right? I think we pretty much listed our picks. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Let us know who you want in Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. Are you going to let us know who you want in there? I think we pretty much laid down our dream roster. We didn't include any X-Men except for, I think I included Cable because we know it's probably not going to happen. But either way, thank you for listening. Follow us on Facebook at The Mighty Warriors 3 with Brian Taser. He's asleep right now. And John do a great job of keeping it up. Appreciate all the likes. Twitter.com/Warriors3PCast. Check there for any time an episode goes live. We're also on iTunes. Please do us a favor and write us a review if you think if you like the show or not. Let us know how the audio sounds because, again, we're trying this new audio system. It's worked pretty well last time. You know, should work this time pretty good. But curious about your thoughts, except for that noise. That noise. Holy shit. I'm surprised the laughing's not waking up. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, John, Brian, you have anything to say before we go?
Check us out, The Mighty Warriors 3 on Facebook. Taser's been taking care of us on the dark side of the interwebs, whatever the hell that means. Check us out at the Green Lantern Corps message boards, greenlanterncorps.com. We're usually lurking around there talking about all the good Marvel stuff. And, we'll be doing Doctor Strange soon. We promise. It's coming. It's going
to
be a thing. But we're giving...
It might not...
Within the next week or two.
Yeah, it might be till next week because we were going to do it tonight, but I don't think we're going to do it tonight based on the train.
That's the C train coming to take us away to take us back home, so...
Yeah. Also, if we don't do... Here's the holiday schedule going forward. Our last show will be the 19th of December. We're going to take a break. I know we've taken a lot of breaks recently, but this is our scheduled break. We'll be back on the 23rd of January. So we're going to take a couple weeks off to recharge our batteries. Hopefully, I'll see Doctor Strange and probably be... Ideally, that'll be the first episode of 2017. It'll be just a Doctor Strange special.
I will have seen it. I will guarantee that. I will find a way. If I have to skip Rogue One to go see it, I will.
Well, that's our final show of this year's Rogue One. Just so everybody know, our final show this year will be Star Wars, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I'm looking forward to doing that. Follow my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BigIron2012, where I'm currently doing a Let's Play of The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. It's been a lot of fun to do that, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Zelda. And twitch.tv/Iggy2814, on my live stream. I just started streaming Super Metroid, one of the best games of all time. It's Merry Metroid. This month I like to celebrate Metroid in general. So this month I'm playing nothing but Super Metroid on my Twitch channel. And what else? Head to nerdcore.online for all my nerd blogging stuff. And the greenlanterncore.com for all my reviews on Green Lantern stuff. And I think we're it.
Yeah,
anything else?
I think so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Marvel Ziggy. That's Brian and John. We will see you all next week for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. And remember, stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
Everybody.